Hi, everybody. I'm John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive home from work as a high school instructional coach in Arlington, Virginia. Traffic is really bad, but that gives me about 10 minutes each week to sit in the car and just do a brain dump, which is good because I like talking education and my job affords me the opportunity to talk to teachers across all content areas, really all over the country. And so as I work with teachers in the high school, but also across grade levels and disciplines, I like to take the best of what I'm hearing and put it into a podcast, do a little bit of a brain dump, and then brainstorm with people all over the country and all over the world so we can join in conversation about how we can keep changing the game in our classrooms. And that's what every Monday's podcast is about. So this week we're talking about a final exam as if it was a game. How about that, right? Like a singular day of testing or 2 days of testing that your kids will actually look forward to coming in, like beating down the doors, can't wait to be the first kid in class. Does that sound like worth talking about? If so, stick around about 30 seconds. We'll get to it. But first, some housekeeping information. Like I said, I'm John and I'm on Twitter. I would love to join the conversation with you. This is just one person's thoughts. This is designed to be a springboard for dialogue. So please feel free to hit me up. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. And if you like what you're hearing, you can feel free to mash that subscribe button on iTunes or Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. Or check me out on the web. I'm www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about teaching and I want to get people fired up too. It's also the name of my book, which arrives in June of 2019 from the good folks at Dave Burgess Consulting, the New York Times bestselling publishers behind Teach Like a Pirate. And so I'm fired up to join the Dave Burgess family of authors with tools and tricks and strategies to get fired up in any grade level course or content area. My book's all about student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, and the crazy adrenaline that comes from these places that we're willing to spend our money on, even though they're like kind of torturing us, right? Like escape rooms, they're like putting you in psychological distress. And mud runs, they're like shocking you or throwing you into the mud or putting you in ice baths. And amusement parks, while they're certainly a ton of fun, they're taking a lot of money from you, and they're making you stand around for long times for the privilege of being hung upside down and spun in circles. How can we take that same crazy spirit and throw it in our classrooms? And I think about that when I'm talking about today's episode, which is all about designing a final exam that'll make your kids go crazy in a good way. And here's my thoughts on that. So a bit of some background knowledge before we get into it, but all the resources are certainly available on my website, and I'm happy to share them for free because I just think it's just good business to get good ideas in the hand of good teachers. A rising tide lifts all ships. But some quick background. You're going to hear the word gamification a bunch of times today. If you're not familiar with what gamification is, you can check out all the episodes, or we can do a quick Google search. You can pause the episode here. But strictly speaking, gamification is using game-inspired mechanics or rules or strategies in a game environment. So things like points and teams and badges and leaderboards. So individual groups are competing against one another to get the highest score, stuff like that. I'll use the word gamification pretty casually today. If you want a great book on gamification, Michael Matera is another Dave Burgess author, and he wrote a great book called Explore Like a Pirate, where the XP is capitalized, like experience points, right? It's great about using the gamified classroom model and tools or lessons learned or adapted from gamification to put into the classroom, any course or content area. So it's really, really great. Something else you'll hear about today is the idea of small groups and centers. I love the idea of small group work and groups that are doing their own thing different than what other groups are doing, because giving students a chance to work together in those small groups takes a class of 24 and can break it down. So instead of 24, you have, let's say, four groups of six or six groups of four. Now you can work more closely with a small group of students, giving instant feedback, because that's a big thing I'm driven by. I mean, you've heard that a lot today. I talk about feedback that should be safe, S-A-F-E, specific, actionable feedback expediently. This is why people like mud runs and obstacle courses, because it tells them right there on the spot, you either passed that obstacle or you failed it. And for many of these obstacle course races, you have a chance to just get back up and do it again, dust yourself off and do it again. Specific, actionable feedback expediently. It's a great book by a woman named Katie McKnight called Literacy and Learning Centers for the Big Kids. And it's fantastic about how to use centers or small group stations for students that are older than kindergarten. We think about stations, activity rotations, and we think about like the kindergarten model. There's the blocks station, right? There's the fake post office, or there's the one where you can like do the drawing in the art station. But then we get older and we just sort of stop that. So a phrase I'm going to use a lot too today is like Montessori on steroids. And I don't mean that in like a drug use kind of way. I'm not trying to promote or push anything like that. But I'm talking about like a fired up version, like a pumped up version of this idea of learning through play and learning through self-guided autonomy and letting students just kind of move their way around the classroom. So another phrase I'll use today is learning menus. When you create the menu as a teacher, that you know that there are 8 or 10 or 15 things on that menu that a child can choose to do. Each of those things, because you're the curator of that menu, you know is good for them. And that's important. It's not just like going to your favorite restaurant, like I love Chinese food, and walking in and saying, what's the fattest, greasiest thing I can order off this menu? Rather, it is like a custom organic farm-to-table vegan restaurant in your local neighborhood, Whole Foods, where everything that's on there is probably overpriced, but you also know it's really high quality and really designed to be gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, nut-free, sugar-free. So that whatever they can think to order off that menu, you know they're getting a quality, healthy meal for the day. So, learning menus, centers, gamification, specific actionable feedback expediently. That's the backbone to a quality assessment at the end of the year that I'm going to call a final exam like a game. And here's my vision for it. And I have links and examples in the show notes. I'm happy to share them. They're also available on the website. Like I said, steal it, use it, adapt it, do what you got to do. I think a rising tide lifts all ships. And if you can be putting this into your classrooms, more engaged students is never a bad thing for education. So have at it. But my vision for it is I do a full year study of American literature. We have about 400 years of content and we move very, very fast. Over the course of 180 school days, I got to move students from the Puritans all the way up to like the 1950s or 60s. And that's a lot. That's almost too much. That means on any given day in my class, I'm moving through like 10, maybe 12 years worth of historical content. And so we're slamming through novels. Like it's 2 weeks on The Great Gatsby. It's 2 weeks on William Faulkner. It's 3 weeks on Huck Finn. It's 2 weeks on Scarlet Letter. And bam, 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 bam. There's really never a chance to breathe. And so over the course of the year, we'll do 10 major units, starting with the Puritans and working our way all the way up to the modern era, or the Southern Gothic, which is William Faulkner and Flannery O'Connor, books like that. Now, I do realize that the survey model does present its own strategies and problems because that's old school teaching 101, right? Like, hey, it's American literature, it's American history. You got the whole story of who we are as a people. Get to the Civil War by Christmas, good luck. And we think about all the things that have happened like since 9/11 or in the war on terror. And we're like, there's never any time to talk about this stuff. We can barely get to Vietnam, let alone stuff after the Bush administration. And so I think about those traditional survey models as being in some ways outmoded, for sure. But regardless, whatever you've got as a teacher, you have a full year's worth of that which you've got. And for me, it's American literature 400 years. So how do I take that and make it into a cohesive story that my students can kind of sink their teeth into? Because I won't lie to you, that's disparate. That's all over the map. I got things like the rhetoric and persuasion of the founding fathers with Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin. And then I have stuff like the poetry of Walt Whitman and Emily Dickinson. That's not the same thing. That's a totally different skill set. Along the way, oh yeah, there's a novel that they read or a different novel that they read. We read Raisin in the Sun, which is a play by Lorraine Hansberry. Or we read The Awakening by Kate Chopin, which is a story about first wave feminism and empowerment of women when they're trying to emerge from the cult of domesticity. Oh yeah, and by the way, we also have Ernest Hemingway and his short stories in there and the ability to read close fiction for detail where we're sort of looking under the surface of the tip of the iceberg. And so all of this stuff is like 180 days worth of different skills in 10 different units. And how in the blue heck could I take that and turn it into an exam that someone would have any joy about approaching or having fun with? And I think the answer is gamification in small centers with specific actionable feedback off of a learning menu. The idea, very simply, is I take the 10 units and I have each one represented by a, quote, big bad boss. So maybe the big bad boss for The Great Gatsby is Tom Buchanan. That's Jay Gatsby's rival for the love of Daisy Buchanan, the story's main love interest. Or maybe in the story of The Scarlet Letter, the, quote, big bad boss is the devil, because the devil's trying to tempt Hester Prynne to sign his book to become like a fallen soul away from this Puritan culture. Fine, fine, fine. But I got 10 big bad bosses, and imagine like giant-sized baseball cards posted on the wall. Instead of baseball card size, though, they're printed out on a sheet of full-size 8.5x11 paper with an instruction about how to challenge or beat that boss. So again, it's a menu just played out on the wall real big. Those are magnetized to the wall with like little magnets so that students could like take the station off and back to the desk group they go to solve it, and then they can take it back up and trade for another boss. When you beat boss one, move to boss two. Boss two to three, three to four, and whatever it looks like. But you don't have to move in any chronological order. And that's important because then students can pick the boss they want to battle in the order in which they want to battle them. And as far as what those battles, quote unquote, look like, it's small tasks that are designed to give specific actionable feedback right there on the fly that they've either, quote, beaten that boss or they failed to. Example, maybe one of those bosses is a quizzes. Have you ever used quizzes online? It's an online, like, arcade-style game where you write quizzes and then students can take it as many times as they want to just by scanning the code. They take it right from their cell phones and they answer as many questions as they can. If they get a perfect score, they win. And if not, they can try it again, like an arcade game designed to take your quarters, except it doesn't cost any money. So for this station, it might say, hey, this is the Duke and the King from Huckleberry Finn. They're a bunch of con artists and swindlers, and they can't tell the truth for 2 seconds. Can you beat them by showing that you know the truth? Scan this quizzes code to beat the Duke and the King. In your group, work with your teammates. Let's say there's 4 people in the group. You're welcome to talk as much as you'd like, but I need to have at least 2 members of the group get a perfect score on this quizzes before you're allowed to say that you vanquished the Duke and the King. When you have that score, call me over as the teacher, and I'll check it. You get the thumbs up, and you can move on to challenge another boss. How cool, right? How easy. It's very specific. It's very actionable. The feedback's right there on the spot, and they know whether they beat it or didn't beat it, and they can try and try again. You set a big timer or clock in the background, and teams are working asynchronously to complete as many centers as they can complete, all with the honor of, quote, beating bosses. And when they beat a boss, there's a different sort of power-up that they can gain. Maybe, like, they roll a dice, or they get some Legos, and they're trying to build the tallest tower that they can, or get the highest dice roll score that they can. And I'm playing with ways that I can do that, too, that maybe if they did, like, you know, 2 out of 4 students got a perfect score, they would get, I don't know, 2 dice to roll. But if 4 out of 4 students got it, they get like the 20-sided dice. So that the idea is the higher work that they put in, it's like getting more hit points on a boss, right? Again, gamification. You did a better job of beating this guy. You didn't just beat him, you crushed him. And so you've earned more points accordingly. So the game points and the grade points don't really matter. They don't really talk to one another. But you've set up this sort of Trojan horse where the self-guided learning, okay, pick the boss that you think you can conquer today. Different bosses are different difficulty levels, but the quizzes is just one station. Another one could be like, you know, take quick notes on this. Show me that you remember 10 things about that unit. When you have 10, call me over. I'll check it. Or do a sketch note on this thing. Bring in details from the text. Bring in evidence from what we know. When you have those details, call me over. If it's at a great level, you earn more dice powers, and so on and so on and so forth. So I think about all the ways we can make this happen in our classroom, and I'm thinking, now I got kids excited to spend 2 to 3 to 4 days just slamming through what is otherwise like cold review. But along the way, you can take every different skill that they had to encounter through the whole school year and theme it right back to the people that they've encountered as the quote bad guys. So now they can tie in the content and the skill to end your year with a bang. And the team with the highest points, of course, wins, which is like a giant game. So set a timer and then have a scoreboard in the background, tick, 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 tick. And suddenly those last 2-3 days of class, this testing model actually could be my test, because by the end of it, I'll have feedback from every single kid in class. I'll know whether they have rhetoric, whether they have poetry, whether they have dice rolling, but also like some strategy involved with. And sure, some of that stuff is not a tested subject area, like the dice rolling I don't care about, but everything else behind that, that's just good quality learning that's been dressed up with a little bit of finesse that makes our students want to work that much harder. And then in the end, everybody wins. Because whatever centers they did not complete become homework on that final day of the assessment. And again, they have that time in class to work and work and work. So like I said, Montessori on steroids, right? I'll put a link to the show notes today about a version of this I have for my class. You're welcome to adapt the templates. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you're hearing, hit the subscribe button. Check out the book. Check out the website and hit me up on Twitter. And I'll see you guys again next time. There's the bell. So I'm back at it. And thanks again.